Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, December 12th, 2018, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our monthly, weekly lunch and learn. And we will have class on the 19th as of now. As far as the 26th goes, I'm assuming we will not have class. And on the 2nd, I know we will not have class, but I will send out updates about that when the as necessary. Okay, so today our topic is a very interesting question. We see we're in Vayigash, and Yaakov in this parsha is going to go down to Egypt for the first time. He's going to see Yosef for the first time since he disappeared on that fateful day when Yaakov sent him to check on his brothers, right? That's how this whole thing started. Yaakov sent Yosef to check on his brothers, and then the brothers schemed to get rid of him. Should we kill him? Should we throw him in the pit? In the end, he was sold, and we discussed in our most recent class exactly who sold him and who was responsible for selling him. We did that through study of various pieces of art. Now, Yosef is Mishneh LeMelech. Yosef is second in command to Paro. He's very important. He reveals himself to his brothers, and he finds out that his father is still alive, and he wants to bring everyone down to Egypt so that they can live out the remainder of the famine and build their life in Egypt. There's a five psukim, a group of five psukim that appears in the beginning of chapter Mem Vav, chapter 46, that if we look at carefully, we could see at least Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who we've studied before, the Netziv, he sees a major change. I would call it a disintegration, if you will, in the attitude or even abilities of Yaakov from the time he gets to when he leaves wherever he's living in and goes down to Be'er Sheva. That's sort of one piece of the itinerary that's mentioned in the beginning of the Parsha, and then in the beginning of this Perek, and then there's a second part of the itinerary. So let's just understand what's happening. Let's look at the beginning of chapter 46, and this is source number one on the source sheet. Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo, vayavo be'era shava, vayizbach zivachim lelohei aviv Yitzchak. So Israel, who was Yaakov, he set out with all that was his, and he came to Be'er Sheva, where he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. Vayomer Elohim li Yisrael b'marot ha'layla, vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, vayomer hin. I'm going to skip that for a minute. So this is the first itinerary. He travels from wherever he was, and the Torah doesn't tell us where he was. Anyone remember the last recorded location of Yaakov before this event? Right, Marat HaMachpelah, right. That's the last, that's the assumption where he's coming from. And in fact, if you look at source number two, the Abarbanel addresses this. Hashela ha'alef. The Abarbanel, I've told you before, has a very interesting way of offering commentary. What he does is he lists a whole bunch of questions on a section of the Torah, and then he writes a very long essay. And in the middle of the essay, he'll write a long essay, and then after one set, he'll say, and this answers question number one. And then he'll continue. He says, and that answers question number two. And he'll continue. And that answers question number three. Okay, so in his first question on this chapter is, Be'amro vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz mugurei aviv be'eretz kenan, v'hu ki hine katav l'mala vayavo Yaakov el Yitzchak aviv, mamre kiryat ha'arba, hu chevron, asher gam sham Avraham v'Yitzchak v'lo nizkar od, the last recorded, exactly what the Abarbanel is saying, the last recorded spot we have for Yaakov is Chevron Kiryat Arba, and it doesn't say at that point that he traveled or left. Uviadua imkein sheyashav sham uma balalamdenu vayeshev Yaakov, etc. So basically, I just brought that as the point to back up what Dr. Sackis said, that that's the last recorded place we have Yaakov, and that's where he leaves from, when it says in Pasuk Aleph, back on the source sheet, source number one, Vayisa Yisrael, he leaves, so he was leaving from Chevron, and he goes to Be'er Sheva. That's itinerary number one, okay? But then there's another itinerary, that's in Pasuk Hey, right? So it sounds like his trip, he did his trip in two stops, right? He's going now from Chevron to Egypt, and it looks like he stops, you know, whenever you travel, we've all planned road trips, right? So you have to decide. There are two types of ways to plan a road trip. One way is to plan ahead where you're going to stop, and you make a reservation in the hotel, and you stop there, and you have your plan. The other way is to say, I'll drive until I'm tired, and then wherever I am, I'll find the hotel. We don't know if Yaakov made advance reservations in wherever he was going to be, but we know, is that he made two stops on the way to Egypt from Chevron. One in Be'er Sheva, and then, Pasuk Hey, Vayakam Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayesu b'nei Yisrael et Yaakov avihen, v'yat tapam v'yat nishem ba'galot asher shalach paro l'asei toto. And then he heads off to Mitzrayim. Okay? So I want to look at some interesting differences between the way the Torah, now here's the key question. What are the differences between the way the Torah describes Yaakov's travels from Chevron to Be'er Sheva, that's Pasuk Aleph, and the way that the Torah describes the travels from Be'er Sheva to Mitzrayim, that's Pasuk He. Take a moment to look at the difference, and then we'll come back and we'll get everyone to share their opinion. Hold on. Give everyone a chance. I want everyone to see if they can find it on their own. Okay. So, Chana, what do you got?
That's what it says in Pasuk Aleph when he came to Be'er Sheva, by Zach Zachim Lelokei Abim Yitzchak.
Right.
And in Pasuk He, it says, Vayakom Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayesu bnei Yisrael et Yaakov avihen, v'etapam ba'galot. He didn't say that he thanks God or by Zach Zachim.
Well, that's true. But what? Okay, so there's no karbanot. Fair enough. There's no karban mentioned in his travels to Mitzrayim, right? And that's interesting. Even I didn't give you pasuk vav, but pasuk vav says vayikut miknehem v'yatruchusham asher rachshu be'eretz kanan vayavo Mitzrayima Yaakov v'chol zaroito. Even when they get to Egypt, right? There's no indication. You would think that when he got to where, I think what you're saying is you would think that when he got to where he was supposed to go safely, that he would bring a karban, okay? And he doesn't. He does when he gets to Be'er Sheva, but he doesn't when he gets to Mitzrayim. Okay?
Well, on the first part, I don't tell you how he traveled. On the last one, they tell you went in a wagon with their wives and their family. You don't know.
Okay, fair point. Good. Okay.
I don't see the point of why should he made sacrifices in the beginning. It doesn't say anything about him arriving anything.
I'm saying the next pasuk, which I didn't give you, pasuk vav, pasuk okay. six. Okay. It does say he arrived, okay. And it does not say he brought karbanot. Okay. Now we can explain that, by the way, that it may have not been safe for him to bring karbanot in Egypt, right? Especially as we know that they worshipped the animals that the Jews would bring as karbanot, and so maybe that's why he did it. But okay, good. Any other?
I see another question.
Yes.
You see the black letter, the black word, bold.
Yes.
In pasuk, hey.
Yes.
It says Vayisu is bnei Yisrael et Yaakov, which means he became much older and probably sick or something, and they had.
Ah, right. Excellent. Exactly. That's what I wanted to look at. In Pasuk Aleph, Vayisa Yisrael b'chol asher lo, he on his own sets out.
No, means he walked. Right. He was walking.
Right. On his own, Vayisayis Yisrael is Yaakov. On his own, he sets out to go from Hebron to Be'er Sheva. It sounds like he's able to either walk on his own or get on his animal on his own. He's under his own strength and control. And then in Pasuk Hey, all of a sudden, Vayakam Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayesu B'nei Yisrael at Yaakov Aviyem. They carried him. They carried him, and also apparently his children. That's I think you read the pasuk as follows. You have to put Vayesu B'nei Yisrael at Aviyem Yaakov Aviyem in parentheses. You read the pasuk as follows. Vayakam Yaakov Be'er Sheva ve'et tapam ve'et nishayhem. Right, they all go, but when it comes to Yaakov, they're carrying Yaakov. He is not going on his own power, under his own power, as opposed to Pasuk Aleph. And this is what the Nitziv grabs onto to try to explain the deterioration of Yaakov between the time he leaves Hebron and gets to Be'er Sheva and from the time he leaves Be'er Sheva and gets to Mitzrayim. We have to understand, though, why the deterioration. The mission hasn't changed. He's going to see Yosef. So we would expect him to be very excited. And whatever little strength he has left, we would expect him to be able to muster up on his own to have a little bit more strength and ability, right? He's going to see Yosef. And all of a sudden, the Torah tells us he can't do it on his own. Siona? It doesn't sound. We have no idea. We have no idea, but it certainly does not sound like a lot of time has passed. It sounds like one night has passed. Let's read it. He gets to Be'er Sheva. That night, he says, Yaakov, don't be afraid. You're going to Mitzrayim. And then it sounds like, I can't be sure, but it sounds like he gets up the next morning and off he goes. Right? There's no indication of anything other than one night being passed. And the Nitziv is going to tell us that maybe not even a night has passed. We're going to see that in a second. But even if he spent some time there to rest, it doesn't sound like years and years and years. The Torah doesn't say he got to Be'er Sheva, he was this old. He left Be'er Sheva, he was that old. It doesn't seem to be that that's the case. And certainly that's not what the Nitziv says. Shula? Ah, excellent. Okay, so the point, we don't know why Yaakov's not able to walk on his own. We have no idea. But Shula's right in pointing out that maybe it's not about age. And in fact, I'll share with you a Midrash, Shula, just to back you up. Midrash Shula, that says as follows. It's a very clear Midrash. It says, the Midrash says, by Yisu b'nei Yaakov b'nei Yisrael Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, b'schar ma'aseyem she'asu b'viatam le'mitzrayim, zachu v'alumi Mitzrayim. Meaning in honor, in merit of treating their father nicely and schlepping him to Egypt, carrying him to Egypt, b'nei Yisrael, their bones, maybe that's what it's referring to, or b'nei Yisrael, ultimately, the Jewish people ultimately were able to leave Mitzrayim. So Shula makes a good point. It's not necessarily because he was old. There's something else going on. A very good possibility is that there's really nothing to read into here other than they were treating him with incredible respect. But then you would wonder, why didn't they do that from Hebron to Be'er Sheva? Because Pasuk Aleph says he went on his own.
Maybe he met up with them in Be'er Sheva.
Hold on, one at a time, one at a time. It says it in Pasuk Hey, Vayakam Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayesu B'nei Yisrael, V'yatapam, V'yatnesheihem. It does list them separately. Yeah.
Rabbi, I think that this is a complicated condition what he felt. The first time you talked about Yordan, and when you old man, especially the old man who living a land which been not only land of his fathers, but also land that been promised.
Promised them, right.
How would you feel? You would be completely devastated.
Ah,
and
okay.
I think
Interesting.
What really happened that he definitely wants to see his son.
Right. But
there is complication that his children okay. force really him
right.
to go. This one
ah, so it's two things. Great. That's
because
a,
they needed it.
Right.
They, first of all, condition in this country where they're coming from really, really bad. And through Jewish history, this was so many times. Some Jews didn't want to leave places where they were born and raised in Poland,
right.
in Russia, when Germans were approaching.
Right. Okay, excellent.
It's a very complicated
excellent. So that's not what the Netziv says, but it's a great answer. Meaning,
there's also
hold on 1 second. Meaning that he's feeling a little conflicted. He doesn't want to leave Eretz Canaan. This is a promised land. And but on the other hand, he wants to see Joseph. So when he's on his way the first time to see Joseph, and he's still in Israel, and he stops in Beersheba, he's feeling great because he's still in Israel. But when he has to now take that next step and go, and he knows that this on this trip, we're not stopping till we get out of Eretz Canaan, out of Israel, into Mitzrayim. Ah, then I'm already feeling the weight of this mixed emotion, right? Even though I'm going to see my son, it still makes me feel weak. Okay, we make one more comment, then I want to see the Netziv, because his is a beautiful comment.
He goes with agalot. It's the same word as galut, going outside.
He's going outside, and it also says, right, God says to him, Al tira merda mitraima, don't be afraid to descend into Egypt. So let's see the Netziv. The Netziv offers a beautiful commentary here. First of all, the Netziv's first hint that something is going on here is in the second Pasuk, Pasuk Bet, when they get to Beersheba, and then God speaks to Yaakov. Vayomer Elokim li Yisrael b'marot ha-layla, vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, vayomer hineni. Okay? So, he says, the Torah says that God calls out to Israel in a vision by night, and he says, Yaakov, Yaakov. So, a few things concern the Netziv. First, why is God calling him Yaakov? God is the one who changed his name to Yisrael. And now God is calling him Yaakov. Now, by the way, there's a midrash on this as well, that which is very interesting, where the midrash reminds us, it's a Gemara in Masechet Brachot, that says as follows. Tani bar kapara, kol ha-korei la-Avraham Avram over ba'aseh. Anyone who calls Avraham, his original name, Avram, is violating a negative commandment. Shenemar, the Torah says, Vayashimcha Avraham. Right? From now on, this is in the 17th chapter of Bereshit. From now on, your name is Avraham, and you shall no longer be called Avraham. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ella, Me'ata Hakareli Yaakov Yaakov Hachinami. Shouldn't we say the same thing about anyone who calls Yaakov Yaakov? We should only call him Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Shani Hatam. Dahadar ahadre kra. It's different in this case. Kra, meaning the Torah itself. God calls Yaakov, Yaakov. Dichtiv, vayomer lehim liYisrael, b'marot halayla, vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov. So there's something about Avraham's change in his name, which is permanent, but there's something about the change of Yaakov, which is not permanent. Sometimes Yaakov is Yaakov, and sometimes Yaakov is Yisrael. And the Netziv is going to help us understand that. And the second thing that bothers the Netziv is this B'mar'ot HaLaila. Listen, let's read what he says. On the bottom of the first page, source number 3, B'mar'ot HaLaila. Be'etzem hayom hitra'eh elav. The Netziv says, don't be fooled. This was not a night vision where God appears to Yaakov at night. This was in the middle of the day. B'marot halayla, lahaskilo shehigia sha'a lekabel alav ol galut shemichuna b'shem layla. This is not a night vision. This is a vision about a dark time. Galut, like you said, and like you said, Yaakov is not just going to see his son. This is the beginning of hundreds of years of exile in Egypt. B'nai Yisrael, literally, are going into exile. So this is The pasuk should not read, God called to Israel in a vision of the night. God called to Israel about a vision of night, or about a vision of darkness, about the vision related to the nighttime. What nighttime? Galut. Va'olam chashuch az mehofa'at ruach hakodesh. And it's going to be at this time, this is fascinating, that the world will now be bereft. This is not only galut, this is now the end of God's obvious interaction with the Jewish people for hundreds of years. Think about it. From this moment on, God disappears almost until the Makot. Until God sees Moshe at the burning bush, that's it. He hides. This is what we call Hester Panim. For hundreds of years, God hides his face. So this is a very dark time. Va'olam chashuch az me'ofat ruach kodesh. Rak b'shot k'tzarot l'tzorech inyan k'mo or habarak sh'mavhik et halayla. Once in a while, we'll see a little spark or lightning bolt of God to remind us that there's God. But this type of regular interaction and conversation with people is over now until Moshe gets onto the scene. This is hundreds of years away. So he says, first of all, you should know that something bad is happening. Okay? Something bad is about to happen. You're going to Galut. I'm about to disappear from the scene of history. I'm only going to be in the back for a little while. Okay? Then, let's look at the Ramban. And then we'll come back to the Netziv. The Ramban on Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. This is the last source on the page. Okay, everyone have it? Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. Do you have a sheet, Dov?
Yeah, I got it.
So, here we go. Here's the thing. Achar shamar lo Hashem lo yikra shimcha od Yaakov. Yikare shimcha od Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael yiyesh shemecha. Like we said before, after God had called him Yisrael and says, your name will no longer be Yaakov, it was fitting that God would call him by his distinguished new name, Yisrael. And three other times, he is called Yisrael. So why now is he calling him Yaakov, Yaakov? Aval, karu Yaakov, Yaakov, lirmoz kiata lo yashur im Elohim v'im anashim v'yochal. However, he called him here Yaakov, Yaakov, to lute him that he would not be able to, Yasur, to strive with the divine and with man and overcome. When God gave Yaakov his new name Yisrael, what does he say it is? Kisarita, and you won. You're not going to win anymore, Yaakov. This is going to be 200 years of you losing. Over 200 years of you losing. I can't call you Yisrael. It's unfitting. It's a regression. It's unfitting for me to call you Yisrael. Aval yeyeh beveit avadim ad she'ya'alenu gam alo. Rather, he would have to remain in the house of bondage till God would surely bring him up. Ki me'ata ha'galut tatchil bo. For now the exile would begin with him. V'zeh hatam ve'ele shemot b'nei Yisrael haba'im mitzrayma Yaakov uvanav. This is the meaning of the inconsistency in the verse. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel who are coming to Egypt. Jacob and his children. Ki b'shem b'nei Yisrael yavo shama. Ki yifru habanim v'yirbu v'yigdal shema muchvodam. Aval Yaakov hu atab ridito shama. Right now, when he descended there, he was only Yaakov. Ah, so the Midrash says that could be Lashon Chiba. It could be Lashon Chiba. Here, the Midrash says, Lashon Chiba v'Lashon Ziruz. It's a language of love, and it's a language of, you better get started. Go down now. Don't delay. Now, why isn't he Ziruz? Because why would Yaakov rush to Mitzrayim if the Galut is starting? Yaakov is going to say, I would love to see Yosef. Maybe I'll spend another 6 months here in Be'er Sheva. It's nice. Right, I'll stay here for a little while. No. God says it's time to go. Okay, Dove. What does the Bible say?
Okay,
That's after this. That's after this. We're reading Pasuk Bet. And he's telling him, you're about to go into Galut. And then he says, it's going to be bad, but... Well, I'm reading to the Ramban. That's the Ramban's interpretation.
He says, here I am. And then God says, don't worry.
Okay, right, exactly. Also, why should he be worried? Right. So the question is, why would God tell Yaakov, don't be worried if everything's going to be great? And you can't just stop reading the Torah in chapter 46. You have to open up to chapter 1 in Shemot. We know it's terrible.
No, he promises two things.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll be with you there. Which ultimately
you're not reading the rest of the Torah. We know it's terrible there. We have to read this in the context of what's going on. At least
was lying to him?
No,
he says, Al tira mirda mitzrayima, don't be afraid. Obviously it's something to be afraid about. Despite what's gonna happen, ki lugoy gadol
asimcha sham. He said, I'm gonna be with you there.
Yes, but read the rest of the Torah. Where is Yes, what does that mean, I'm going to be with you there? What does that mean? What does that mean?
It means I'll protect you because you're going to have time.
There's 200 years where there's...
If he's with him, it doesn't sound like I stepped in.
So now I'm saying you have to read the rest of the Torah. Where was he? Yes, he was there. I would argue that this means that I'm not going to let you be destroyed there.
Survive.
You'll survive. But it's not. It's certainly not going to be a picnic. And there's no nevuah. There is for the hundreds of years from the time they get to Mitzrayim until God speaks to Moshe. There's no recorded conversation between God and anybody. So I think we have to look at the whole picture. I think that's what. Okay, hold on. I want to move on. I'll take Tiona. Okay. Right.
So wait a minute. My hint is that the Pharaoh sent the wagons, not Jacob, not Yosef. Is that a foreboding? Because it says the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to transport them.
It could be.
Not
to get permission.
Could be
from Pharaoh.
Okay, Doc, you have a comment.
The comment is that it says Avram, Avram. It says Yaakov, Yaakov.
Right.
It says Moshe, Moshe.
There are a few others. I have a list.
Yitzchak is not mentioned twice.
There are eight who are mentioned twice. This is from a midrash. They are Noach, Shem,
yeah.
Terach, Avraham, Yaakov, Moshe, Shmuel, and Shlomo. Is that eight? So,
but not Yitzchak.
Not Yitzchak. Avraham and Yaakov. I mentioned Yaakov. Okay, let's look at the next netziv. Pasuk 4. This gets to what Dov was referring to. Va'anochi, this is in Pasuk Dalet. God says to him, so we know, we understand B'marot HaLaila, it was a dark time coming. Yaakov, Yaakov, he calls him Yaakov to get him moving, and Yaakov is because he's not going to be a winner for a long time. And then Pasuk Dalet, Anochi ered imcha mitraima, Va'anochi a'alcha gam alo. Which is weird language, right? The pasuk would have made sense had it simply said "Va'anochi a'alcha," right? I will bring you up, but it says "Va'anochi a'alcha," I will bring you up and rise you up, raise you up. Ah, good. So let's see the excellent. Let's see the netziv pasuk on source 4 on the back page. Shtei aliyot. Hainu aliyah chushit sheyalu bishat geula le'eretz Yisrael. Right, there's going to be a physical geula, but begam alo aliyah ruchanit, a spiritual lift. Shebiyetziat Mitzrayim yalu b'matan Torah uba'avodat ha'karbanot yoter me'asher hayu od lifnei bo'am le'Mitzrayim. Right, so that's what the double language. So Dov makes a good point. God's trying to soften the blow. You're gonna not only are you gonna get out, But all of these years that I've been missing, you ain't seen nothing yet. Right? When you get to Har Sinai, there's going to be a revelation and an opportunity which didn't even exist during the time of the Avot. Okay? God is answering both questions or responding to both problems. One, the physical slavery, the galut, and the fact that for all those years, God is exercising Hester Panim. And now we get finally, with all of that, we get finally to the Netziv's answer in where it says, Pasuk 5. Vayakam Yaakov in Be'er Sheva. We go back to Pasuk Aleph. Okay, that Pasuk Hey, I'm sorry. Be'asher haya kashe al Yaakov halichazo. This trip was difficult. Sheyodea haya sheholech legalut. He knows he's going into galut. Al kein kativ vayakam nidrash lehizdareiz vilelech. Vayakam is a language of he had to push himself to do it. And then, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael et Yaakov avihem, b'olchol l'mitzrayim hishpil dato. He became depressed. Va'alkein lo atzar koach leilech v'atzmo. He could not find the strength to go on. He physically couldn't do it, despite how much he wanted to see Yosef. It's not just uprooted. This is hundreds of years where apparently he has some indication, right? He has some indication. Right, and that's true. He probably realized this is my last stop. I'm going to die in Egypt.
But he knew this is the prophecy that came from Avram.
He remembered his grandfather's prophecy too, that right, God gave Avram a prophecy, the Brit Ben Abitarim, that he was going to be 400 years in a land that wasn't theirs, and he says, oh, here it goes on my watch, right? We knew it was going to happen, but Yaakov didn't necessarily know it was going to happen in his lifetime, and now he's saying, oy vay vay, here we go, it's starting. So the Netziv, in a very, very careful reading, right, picks up on hints. Let's just review the hints. First of all, B'marot HaLaila, I'm not sure what caught the Netziv's eye, but that's not a nighttime prophecy. It's a prophecy about a dark time. Yaakov, why is he calling him Yaakov after Yisrael? We saw the Ramban, which fits very nice into the Netziv's whole theory. And then the main thing that caught the Netziv's attention was the difference between how Yaakov literally carried himself, was able to walk on his own from Chevron to Be'er Sheva, but he was not allowed to go, he was not able to go from Be'er Sheva to Mitzrayim. It does not sound like a lot of time has passed. That's not the sort of feel one gets when they read these psukim. You could make the argument that if the Netziv is right, and this was not a night vision, that this whole thing happened in one day. If the Netziv is wrong, and we read it literally, it was a nighttime vision, then it happened in 2 days.
Could you just read it that they got wagons? Because they also put their children and wives on the wagons. It wasn't just Yaakov. Could have just been read that now they had wagons and before they didn't?
It could be that this is a much longer journey.
I don't know. We have to see. I didn't do that. What I wanted to do was I wanted to do a Google Maps to see, although you don't know the route, but I want to do a Google Maps to see the distance. I want to do a Google Maps to see the distance. Maybe I'll do that now real quick. The distance between Be'er Sheva, between Chevron and Be'er Sheva and Mitzrayim. What's an hour and a half? I have to see if Google Maps has a camel route. Let's see. We'll do it right now.
6 days journey from Be'er Sheva to Cairo.
Walking?
Yeah, walking.
Okay, and from Chevron to Be'er Sheva?
Let's see.
So 6 days walking from Beersheba to the Egyptian border. We don't know exactly where they were. Okay. And now we're gonna see Chev from. It's definitely less than 6 days.
And then it is actually, so 1 day walking.
From Chevron to Beersheba.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 day. All right. Anyway, that is the Netziv and an indication of the deterioration or regression. I like that someone used that word. The regression, because Yaakov now goes from the one who was able to fight off his enemy, the Saroshel Esav, and get the name Yisrael. And now he's back to Yaakov, where he's going to be helpless, literally helpless, for hundreds of years. Yeah.
There's another indication that he's distressed. God comes to him like this twice before when his visions, when he's distressed, when he's running away from Esau.
Right.
He's going back to Esau. God comes to him and says to him, take it easy, it'll be okay. And then, or the first time he gives him the vision, and again, the fact that God comes to him and says, take it easy, it'll be okay, is a sign that he's upset. About something.
Right, but God says, Al Tira, don't be afraid.
Exactly.
So he's obviously afraid.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's clear that this is literary device to show again this vision is
right.
Okay.
Pasuk Dalin. Yeah, it means Yosef's going to close your eyes. You're going to die there. And Yosef's going to close your eyes. I think that's what it means. I'll quickly check Rashi. Yeah, Nebuch. Where are we? What pasuk is that? Pasuk Hey? Pasuk Dalin? It could mean that. That's what some midrashim say that's what it means. Others say it means other things. It could mean that he's going to take care of Shula. Shula. There's another midrash that says Al Yadecha means that he's going to take care of the nation that you see in your eyes. Like he'll take care of everyone. But I think simple pshat is he's going to close your eyes when you die. Yeah, and you're going to die in Egypt, which fits into our whole theory of why Yaakov disintegrates or regresses or whatever at this point. Okay, you get the last word.
I don't know if it's the last word. Maybe
it's the last recorded word. We don't know. What I'm saying, right, correct. We don't know. But if you just read the text, as it is, it does not seem that a lot of time passed from his arrival in Beersheba to his departure from Beersheba.